Well, are you ready for God's word today? I'm excited for it. We're starting a brand new series called Shine Like Stars. Shine Like Stars. And this series is going to be a character study on the life of Daniel. And I'm really looking forward to digging into this. If you grew up in church, you probably heard about Daniel. He was hanging out with some lions without getting devoured. And did you know that that happened when he was age 70? I didn't know that until I just was digging into this. So there's maybe such a familiar story. There's actually a lot of things that you might not know about Daniel. And so we're gonna, over the next 5 weeks, go into this journey to understand how Daniel is an example for us to follow. Near the end of his life, in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel writes these words, and this is gonna be our anchor scripture for this whole series, chapter 12, verse 3. And I would love for us to read this together out loud. Ready? Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Shine like the stars forever. That's where we got the title of this series. What does it mean to shine like a star? What does it mean to you? Well, I like to look at physical things that the Bible talks about really to help us understand spiritual truth. And so here are some fun facts about stars. Experts, I think, agree that there are somewhere between 200 and 400 billion stars just in our galaxy called the Milky Way. NASA estimates there could be up to 500 billion galaxies. So start doing that math. Our universe is massive. It's almost like our brains can't really comprehend it. Another fun fact is, you didn't come for a science lesson, but I'm gonna give you one. Another fun fact is the closest star, the sun, the closest star to the Earth is a star named Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri is about 4.2 light years from the Earth. Now, a light year is the distance, it's a point of measurement, it's the distance light can travel in 1 year. So if light travels about 186,000 miles per second, the distance that a light can travel in a year is about 6 trillion miles, which tells us that Alpha Centauri is about 24 trillion miles away. Aren't you glad you came to church today, all learning all this information? Why is this important? Well, think about this. What I found really interesting about Alpha Centauri is the light that we see today was emitted about 4 years ago. Now, can we just take a moment to recognize our creator? Because there's a couple throwaway lines in scripture that just say, God created the stars. He calls them by name, he counts them. The span of the universe is in his forearm. There's a scripture that says that. David writes in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is a display of his craftsmanship. Day after day, night after night, they speak. We look around creation, they speak and make him known. We did not just show up here one day because of a big explosion. We've been designed and created by a loving creator. So what do we learn from stars? Just some fun facts about stars. How do we shine like stars? Well, a star shines brightest when the night is darkest. And that's a lot how our lives are. As followers of Jesus, if you've chosen to remain faithful to God, many times our lives, what outlasts us are the things that we've done many years ago. I mean, Daniel's a great example of this. His life that happened centuries ago, here we are still talking about him. The ripple effect, the echo of his life continues to ring. He is shining like a star. And he was shining bright in a very dark, spiritually dark place called Babylon. That's why this is such an important concept, because all of us, we live in a world of spiritual darkness. And spiritual darkness represents evil. It represents pride. It represents godlessness. It represents lies that the enemy tries to make you think is truth, but it's distorted. It represents, a spiritual darkness represents anything that is in opposition of the light and love of Jesus. Amen. You know, when God created this world, he did not abolish the darkness, he created light. And in a physical sense, when the light helps us see clearly. Well, who is the light? Why is Jesus compared to the light? Jesus is the light of the world. And when you follow him, you will begin to see clearly. And when a person chooses to follow Jesus, they will be able to see and make sense of this world of spiritual darkness that we live in. When a person does not choose to follow Jesus, they reject following Jesus and don't follow him, they will remain in spiritual darkness, this confusion that we see all around us. And so Daniel is a great example. And if you feel like you are living in Babylon, which represents spiritual darkness, you feel like you are in an environment where there's confusion, there's godlessness, there's lies that seem like truth, and you want to remain faithful to God, and you want to be strong, and you want to have your feet firmly planted and see clearly, then this series is for you. Because Daniel is a great example for us to follow. Who is Daniel? Well, Daniel was not a pastor in full-time ministry. Daniel was one of the Jewish exiles. Babylon came in and captured many of the Jewish people and took them into Babylon. And Daniel ended up serving God in a very godless place under 5 different rulers in Babylon, very pagan government. And he was serving these government rulers against his own will, yet he remained faithful to God. Daniel was tempted to doubt God. He was tempted to compromise. He was tempted to question why he was in this place. Yet for all of these years, he remained faithful. He was lied about. He was backstabbed. Yet he remained faithful. Amen. And he's an example to us. So I want us to get to know Daniel today. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, and see how he's introduced to us. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried these off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment because I hope that you saw, it's a very intentional statement that the Lord delivered the people of Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and this land of Babylon. I think that may mess with our theology a little bit. We have to think about Israel. Remember, Israel was chosen by God to become a nation, and he gave them very clear instructions in this covenant relationship. If you follow these instructions, God promised that he would bless them. If they rejected their instructions, God would lift his protection. And that's what was going on in this moment. The people of Israel, this was a dark moment in their history, and they had rejected God's instructions, and they walked away, and God lifted his protection of them. And he allowed Babylon to come in and capture them. Now today, if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus is the one who protects us. He's the one who fulfilled all the covenant and the commitment to God. And so when we put our trust in him, there's no longer this, you know, I need to obey to get God's favor. If I disobey, then God's gonna be really angry with me. Because Jesus is the one reason why when we place our faith in him, it's why we can be in right standing before God. Amen. And so Nebuchadnezzar represents this narcissist king, and he defies the one true God, and he gets the articles of worship, and he actually uses them in his own pagan worship. And he's this picture of pride. And so we'll see his name. We'll get to know him as well as Daniel. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, ordered Ashpenaz, and if you're pregnant, you're looking for a boy's name, that one's available. I don't know too many people named Ashpenaz. He was the chief of his court officials, and he ordered him to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. These were young men. The nobility was considered young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And here's a very important part. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Now, I want you just to picture in your minds what was taking on here, what maybe what we would see or call a modern-day reality show. Right? They brought in the best and the brightest, and they had these competitions and trainings and teachings, and then the king would choose the best to serve him. And so this training that was going on was against their will, but they were teaching them and training them to become like Babylonians. They're actually brainwashing them, trying to forget that they came from a Jewish history. And so now I want you just to picture Daniel and all of these Jewish exiles were living there, and they were in a new land. They were given new instructions, new teachings, a new way of life. And they were given new names because they were trying to forget where they came from, their identity as Jewish men. And so we're going to read their new names. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I guess there'd be some more names for you if you're looking for boys' names. The chief official gave them new names. And again, this was all part of this brainwashing to retrain them to be and think like Babylonians. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But here is the most important verse, I would say, of the whole book of Daniel. Because we get a glimpse of what drove Daniel, what was his conviction. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Can we read those words together out loud? Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Let's read it again. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. So simple. He was just not, he decided not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And how did he go about it? He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. In other words, he didn't stage a protest. He didn't burn down a building to try and create some kind of drama around it. He and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the best. They had the highest ability of learning, yet they also acted in a very respectful way. And Daniel just simply asked for permission not to do this, because this was the line that Daniel put in the sand. Amen. Oh, he could learn all the teachings of Babylon. That wasn't going to shake his faith. He could even be given a new name. That wasn't going to shake his faith. But when he was asked to do something that went in opposition of God's instructions, he drew a line in the sand, but he did it in a very respectful way. He went and he asked for permission, said, hey, can we not eat this food that was given and used in a pagan worship, idol worship? It was used to sacrifice to idols, and that went against God's instructions for him. He said, hey, can we do it a different way? He didn't expect Ashpenaz or everyone else not to eat it. He just said, I'm not gonna defile myself. What we see early in Daniel's life is that he faced these tests. And they happened in private. And if he didn't pass these tests, we probably wouldn't be talking about him today. I don't think we would. But he passed these tests. And I think we face these same tests today. I'm gonna give you three of them. How do you respond when you're in unfamiliar territory? What do you do when you're in unfamiliar territory? How do you respond when you're outnumbered, when you feel like you're the only one who has faith in Jesus? Nobody else does. How do you respond when you're outnumbered? And what do you do when there is opposition to your beliefs? How do you behave in those situations? Daniel is a great example. He knew when it was time to draw a line in the sand, and he also knew how to do it in a respectful way. And so over these next 5 weeks, we're going on a journey to learn how did he do this and see if we can learn. I think we're gonna learn a lot from him. And so I wanna give you, it's the beginning of the year, I wanna give you three commitments or how we can respond to these tests. Maybe you've been in this particular test as well. Three commitments. And commitment number one is this: be resolved to trust the divine guidance of God. Be resolved to trust the divine guidance of God. You know, when you're in an unfamiliar territory, it is so easy, I think it's human nature, to just slide into what I'll call the subtle prison of victimhood. Why me? You ever ask that question? Why me, God? Can we just say that? Why me? Have you ever said that before? Did you know that why me rhymes with whiny? Why now? Why here? Oh God, why did you put me in this place? It is so easy to get into that. I just finished a book recently called The Gift. It's by Edith Eger. She is a Holocaust survivor. I believe she is 95 years old. She's still alive. Wrote this book a few years ago. And she, when she was 16, she watched the Nazi military murder her parents. She was starved, half to death. She was abused. She was left for dead, but she still survived. And she's still living to tell her story. And in this book, one of the things that really got my attention, she said, victims ask, why me? Survivors ask, what now? Amen. And I was thinking, I don't know where she's at with her faith. I'm not sure what her faith is. But it really got my attention because what now is a question that we should make part of our prayer life. God, I wonder what you're going to do now. You have me in this unfamiliar territory. What are you gonna do now? She acknowledged that all of the things she experienced, that it was traumatic, devastating. It caused a lot of pain and a lot of hurt she had to deal with. But she said, it took me a while, but I began to see that the suffering I went through was actually the gift, which is what she named this book, because it gave her an opportunity to build resilience for her life and tell her story that whatever you've been through, you can make it. Amen. Survivors ask, what now? Survivors ask, God, what are you gonna do now? And that's why I wanna invite you to be resolved to trust the divine guidance of God. I love this verse. It's gonna be my verse for 2023. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Humans do not thrive in unrestraint. We don't. We need instructions. We need guidance for our lives. I know we value freedom, but we need instructions. When we don't have the instructions, we're not followed. Everyone just decides for themselves what is right, what is wrong. Where does that lead us? It's not working out well, at least in our country. People do not accept divine guidance. Divine guidance is God's word. He's given us his word and his spirit. And when they work together, they will transform a human life. The Apostle Paul, he framed it this way, 2 Timothy 3, I think it is. All scripture is inspired by God. Amen. It's used to teach us what is right and to teach us what is not right. It's used to correct us and to teach us, instruct us, help us. It is used to guide us. To be resolved, this divine guidance. Look, as a church, we are resolved to this. If you're part of this church, let me just reaffirm this to you. This church, we are committed to preaching and teaching the uncompromised word of God. It is our authority, and we're not gonna waver from that. I just want you to know that, be reminded of it. Do everything that we can, do the best of our ability to teach it, the word of God. Base everything we do on God's word, because it's the truth that will set us free. Be resolved to trust the divine guidance of God. No, commitment number two, be resolved to find your people. Be resolved to find your people. you will become like the people you spend the most time with. So let me just ask you, do you have people in your life that will point you to be more like Jesus? What's interesting about a galaxy to me is not that just all these fun facts that we learned, you know, stars 24 trillion miles away. But when you look at a galaxy, what's impressive about a galaxy is how many stars there are. And I got this picture of that's like the local church. Worship Center is just one body of this galaxy of people that are shining bright, men and women who are taking God's word seriously, applying it to their lives, wanting to make a difference, wanting to help and reach other people and introduce other people to Jesus and be witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you see all of that in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and around our nation and all around the world, it is like a galaxy of people shining bright. Yet it still comes down to, do you have your people? Because God uses people in our lives to shape us to be more like him. And he uses us to influence and help other people and shape them to be more like Jesus. So do you have your people? Do you have people in your life that'll point you to Jesus? Daniel, the reason why I believe Daniel could remain faithful to God is he found his people. I mean, there were many Jewish men and Jewish exiles there. But Daniel found Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you see that there's this small group that kept each other's faith strong, encouraged. And we see that all throughout Israel's history. When the majority of God's people start turning and walking away from God, there's always a faithful remnant. And this faithful remnant that remains faithful, God chooses to use them, work through them to accomplish his purpose. This is one of the reasons why we do small groups here at Worship Center. Because we want to provide an environment. It's not because we just like doing more programs. We want to provide an environment where you can connect with other people who are going to point you to be more like Jesus and grow together. It's a high value that we have. That's why we encourage you. Every time there's a sign up, it's a sacrifice to be part of a group. It will impact your calendar. It will impact your relationships that you have. It'll probably challenge you and stretch you. But the goal is to point you to become more and more like Jesus. And so you're going to continue to be encouraged and challenged to join a small group. Do you have people in your life who will help you become more like Jesus? Let's be resolved to that. And then finally, number three, and this is right from Daniel, be resolved not to defile yourself. Be resolved to not defile yourself. Put that line in the sand. Self-control is always rewarding. You will never regret self-control and self-discipline. A life of undisciplined action, a moment of undisciplined action will eventually, at some point, lead to some kind of disaster. You can count on it. Self-control and self-discipline is not just about, do I have enough willpower? Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So as the Word of God and the Spirit of God is working in our lives, it should produce self-control where you choose not to do what everyone else is doing. That's what Daniel did. That's why he is a star shining forever. As he chose not to do what everybody else was doing, including all the other Jewish people who were also captured. He made that decision because he knew he wasn't going to do something that would defile himself. And this gets tested in our lives. I know many of your stories, and you're in environments like Babylon in spiritual darkness, and this gets tested and it's not easy. That's why I wanted this to be a time of encouragement for you, to remain faithful to God. Just a few weeks ago, I was meeting with a guy in our church, and he serves on a local school board. And I was hearing some of the decisions that he's faced with, and you know, they get pressure. Anyone who's serving on the school board gets pressure from the state, but also has to serve the kids and the students in these school districts. And it causes this kind of inner turmoil of trying to decide what's best and based on personal convictions of what's best. And I could just see it. I could also feel that same weight. In the context of our conversation, we both kind of realized, I would say at the same time, that God places people in these positions for these moments. And God has placed you in the whatever position you're in that may feel like spiritual darkness for a very specific, important purpose. What could God be wanting to accomplish through you? And so we were talking about this, and I think he might have said, and at least this is what I took away from our conversation, is that, you know, when it comes to making decisions, we do the best we can with the information that we have, and we must pray for wisdom and discernment around those decisions. But while we're doing that, we must not do anything that would destroy our own character and credibility. Amen. That's the line in the sand. That's what I see in Daniel. Learning how to discern decisions while not doing something that would destroy our own character is the example Daniel set for us. And over the next few weeks, we're gonna look at how do we do this? When is it time to speak boldly, and when is it time to just be a quiet example? How do you go about, how do you interact with someone in a helpful way? How do you challenge authority in a respectful way like Daniel did? Oh, we're gonna go on a great journey. But today, to lay this whole foundation, I want us to come to these three commitments. Be resolved to trust the divine guidance of God. Be resolved to find your people. God uses people to help shape us, and he uses us to help shape other people. Do you have your people? And then number three, be resolved to not to defile yourself. And that's how we can remain faithful to God. And that's what's going to outlast us. Just like a star emits light and we don't see it till 4 years later, so often the tests that we go through in private prepare us for something that's gonna far outlive our lives. The impact of our lives that outlive us, just like Daniel. That all comes from this conviction and credibility character that's been built in private. Amen, do you receive that? All right, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word and your spirit that is moving right in this moment, all throughout the service. I just sense your spirit moving in our hearts. God, you've called us to be resolved, to not waver. That's not always easy to do. There's pressures on all of us on all sides. Pressures to give up. Pressures to compromise. Pressures to doubt. And sometimes when we feel isolated or outnumbered, we feel like we're in some kind of unfamiliar territory, it's natural just to shrink back. God, I believe you're calling us to be bold. Bold in our approach, kind in our approach. Bold in the truth that we live. Respectful in how we treat others. God, would you teach us? I want to be more like that. God, I pray for those who may feel like they're in a spiritual dark place, trying to shine their light. May today be a reminder, not just try harder, try to do better. May today be a reminder that it's only the light of Jesus that's inside of us that can help us shine bright. So our confidence is in you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted you just to keep your heads bowed for a moment. If you're here today, you're joining us online, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you grew up in some kind of religious home, but it was religion, not a relationship with Jesus, not a personal relationship with Jesus. Because religion is about try harder, do better, try not to mess up. Faith in Jesus lets us know that Jesus is the one that did all the things that we couldn't do. Because no amount of good works will find favor in God's eyes. Because his expectation is perfection. But when we place our faith in Jesus, he's like a bridge. And we can come boldly right to the throne of who God is, this throne of mercy and grace, and we can come for help in our time of need. And if you've never made that decision, I want you to make that decision today. I want you to consider it today because it sets your life on a new path. It lets you know that God is for you. He's not against you. He's got an amazing plan and purpose for your life, but it starts with surrender. It starts with saying, repenting of your sins, turning from your selfish ways, and surrendering your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if you're ready to make that decision today, I wanna lead you in a prayer. It's just a simple prayer, but I'm gonna ask you to repeat it out loud. And I like to have everyone repeat it just so nobody's praying alone. But if you're ready to do that, would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. Today, I repent of my sins, receive forgiveness for my sins, and choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone, and a new life has begun. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer as a commitment, as a declaration of your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that you are born again, spiritually reborn. Your old life is gone, a new life has begun. And now it's time to take that next step. And one of the ways that we want to walk with you is that we can give you a Bible and give you some other material and connect with you. So if you made that decision today to follow Jesus, the ushers have a gift for you. Would you do something that takes a lot of courage in a room like this? Would you just put your hand in the air until an usher sees you? They can give you that box with the Bible and some other material, and it helps you grow. Yeah, I see a couple hands. Can we celebrate? We also have people making these decisions in the 9 a.m. service. In that box, there's a card. If you wouldn't mind filling that out and putting it in the box, it's our way of following up with you. Also want to invite you to bring that box. Talk to one of our prayer team members or someone in Connections. We'd love to talk with you and walk with you the best way that we can, because this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. All right, would you all stand, please? I hope today's message encouraged you and challenged you all in one. I also want to just remind you that we're starting 21 days of prayer. I encourage you, would you have 5 minutes a day to pray each day? Take those prayer points, spend 5 minutes. For some people, that's like 5 minutes, no problem. For other people, that might be the longest 5 minutes of your day. But give it a try. If you can scroll 5 minutes on Instagram, you can spend 5 minutes. Oh man, that was low, right? You can spend 5 minutes praying, right? Just try it. Amazing how you can connect with God. But if you do need prayer today, there'll be a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. But on this day, January 8, 2023, I wanna remind you that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So be resolved this year to go out and passionately pursue the purpose God has for your life. All right, have a great rest of your day, great week. We'll see you next weekend.